Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It says here to take two for results in 8 hours. That means we should take eight for results in two. Yep.
With Dusty Hara.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No. And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two. Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. Thank you for being with us. Coming up this hour, we got audio from Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, some Terry Stotts audio as well that you haven't heard yet from the Blazers' 116-94 loss at the hands of the Warriors. NCAA making some big changes potentially that could change the entire landscape of college sports. And top of next hour, Bonzi Wells, former Blazer, joins us at 8 o'clock to discuss his time in Portland, Western Conference Finals. He was on the 2000 Western Conference Finals team for the Blazers. And really, the whole Joe Blazer era, he was in on that. So Bonzi will join us then. Up and down, Blazer fans. Optimistic, a little down on yesterday. I like the balance that we have. It doesn't seem like anybody's panicking too much after game one as far as
sure
P1 social went.
Yeah.
No?
It's one game in. You're in the Western Conference Finals. Things are good.
All right. Where we go from now, it is hot and cool. It's 7:03 on the Fan.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
The Oregon Ducks 2019 recruiting class got a little better yesterday. In football, they added five-star cornerback Chris Steele heading to Oregon. He was the Florida signee who is transferring because of a disagreement he had and fallout with the coaching staff at Florida over his roommate and the legal issues that his roommate was going through. The expectation is that the NCAA will grant him immediate eligibility because it was
good.
Horrible circumstances that he was under. But even if he doesn't, you're going to be redshirting a five-star corner who is rated the third best corner in the country and 19th overall prospect.
Yeah, it's good. Adding depth is always important, especially when you get he's a super talented athlete, that's for sure.
Yeah, he is the highest rated cornerback to sign with the Ducks or commit to the Ducks ever, beating Mikhail Wright, who is also a commitment from the 2019 class.
You're as cold.
This is a pretty, I don't know if it's sad, but Deion Jordan, former Oregon Duck and Seattle Seahawk, he is suspended 10 games by the NFL. Jordan did an interview with NFL.com saying that he tested positive for Adderall. It is his fourth drug suspension.
It's not good.
I also read that he actually had a therapeutic exemption to use it. So the NFL had at one point said this is okay, but that had expired and he was still using it.
Oh, might be a technicality that he's got to take to arbitration
some way. Huh? Well, he said it has been denied by an arbitrator.
Oh.
And he said it's just something he has to live with. He has been contacted by 8 to 10 teams, though, about free agency. The same guy that he came and played really well for the Seahawks in 2017. But he had to miss, knee surgery, kept him out till November this past year. So Deion Jordan suspended 10 games. And then also Andy Levitre, back-to-back days. We have Oregon State offensive lineman news. Yesterday it was Mike Remmer signing with the Giants. Today it is Andy Levitre retiring from the game, the former Oregon State Beaver offensive lineman. Major League Baseball scoreboard from a day ago. The Mariners got a win yesterday. 4-3 over the Athletics. That's back-to-back wins. Watch out now.
They did. In front of, I think, a little over 9,000. Wasn't great.
Sure. Well, is it okay? We're going to move the Mariners to Portland then? Is that what we're doing? We're going attendance problems? Moving them to Portland?
Well, why not? I look, at this point now, all that news that came out of Oakland yesterday, too, might have changed everybody's mentality.
I don't know.
That's illegal crap. Isn't that just something like the city just going to throw that stuff at the wall?
They're trying to prop up that they have some momentum there. All they said is they can do an environmental impact study over the next 4 years.
They have 4 years to do it. And the city of Oakland, city council of Oakland said, you got 4 years to do an environmental impact study on Bayside.
Sure. Can do the study, but where's the money?
Well, that's a big issue.
Exactly.
But here's the problem that Portland Diamond Project has is that it drags out Oakland another 4 years. Mm-hmm. How long will Portland's investors stay engaged and involved?
It's a good question. Major League Baseball might know that answer.
You know what you might have liked from yesterday, though, Cam? Another Vogelbaum.
I did see that. Vogies.
I think he's got 11 now.
Vogelbach, Beckham, Haniger.
He's got the shortest swing in baseball, but it's just like, bah!
It's like a boxer's like jab.
Isn't it? That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Just a short little, okay.
Other performances of note yesterday. The Astros won their seventh in a row to stake claim to the best record in baseball.
Springer goes inside the Parker.
Yeah, he's fast.
Well, first time in his career, though. Slab at the I didn't notice how thick that bottom slab in the park is. It's pretty tall. He hit it perfectly.
Yeah. The Astros in their 7-game win streak have scored 61 runs in their 11-4 win over the Tigers yesterday.
Good for you.
Also,
congratulations.
Vlad Jr. went yard for the first time as the Blue Jays beat the Giants 7-3.
Twice.
And then Chris Sale struck out 17 Rockies as the Red Sox still lose, though, 5-4. My gosh.
17 out of 21 retired.
Yeah, right.
He only pitched 7 innings.
I guess that's good.
I would say so.
Didn't get a win.
No, the team lost. Zion Williamson is going to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, not so fast, my friend.
What?
Zion Williamson. My theory is he has not signed with an agent.
Oh, God.
He might just threaten to go back to Duke. He might say, I don't want to do this. He might. Or he might not. But if you don't have signed, what if Zion says, I'm not going to go play for New Orleans. I'm going back to Duke. I didn't sign with an agent yet. He hasn't accepted anything.
That would be bold. I could see him just demanding a trade before that happens.
Is that good for, we've seen this happen before with Eli Manning in demanding the NFL, but we've never seen it happen in the NBA. I don't think we've ever seen a number one pick ever say, I'm not going.
Yeah, well, he could do it.
He certainly could do it. He's the most prolific number one since LeBron.
New Orleans is won the draft lottery. They had a 6% chance of winning. The number two pick is going to Memphis. They had, I think, like a 4% chance of winning. And then the Knicks are the third pick, and the Lakers are the fourth pick.
I'd like to give a standing ovation to Adam Silver. You said it earlier in the show. What did you say that the NBA finally did and didn't reward what?
Tanking.
Yeah.
Of the 6 worst records in the NBA, only one is in the lottery, the top 4 teams.
Everybody that loves to tank, love that philosophy, well, you're not going to get rewarded for it.
All right. One game in the association tonight is the Eastern Conference Finals gets underway on TNT between the Toronto Raptors and Milwaukee Bucks from the Pfizer Forum in Milwaukee. 5:30 tip on TNT. Game one, Milwaukee is 6.5-point favorites. Last night, though, is the Portland Trailblazers falling in game one of the Western Conference Finals, 116-94. Hear from Terry Stotts, Steph Curry, and Damian Lillard on what went wrong for the Portland Trailblazers in their 22-point loss in Oakland. This is Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan. Game one of the Western Conference Finals, 116-94. The Warriors win. And officially, in the box score, we've got Mama Curry is 0-1. Del Curry 1-0 with their flipping of the coin on which team they support. So I thought it was a good sign that we had Mama Curry on our side. Mm. It was not. She was wearing the front side of Seth's jersey in Dad had Steph. Blazers got routed last night.
Maybe that 18-1 in game one records is pretty good. Yeah. Should have leaned on that a little more.
Yeah, yep. And that is the record in game ones under Steve Kerr. 18-1. They are also, the number that is amazing to me, they're 28-1 without Kevin Durant now.
Sure.
When they have Steph Curry in the lineup and Kevin Durant is out, they're 28-1. And Steph Curry actually talked about that after the game. A little bit about what Kalena Azubuike told us yesterday about the happiness of this team.
I mean, it's fun. It's when we're at our best in terms of everybody feeling like they're a threat on the floor. I mean, honestly, even when Kay's out there, he's our safety valve in terms of we can end a possession that way, but we try to get to those looks and those patterns, you know, as much as we can. It just puts so much pressure on the defense. You know, you can't key in on one guy, and even if you try to, somebody else is going to be open. And you see, like, the morale, like, everybody's shoulders are up and, you know, smiles and just aggressiveness all over the floor, whether it's setting a screen or, you know, swing or, you know, cutting hard, all that type of stuff. So when you create good shots that way, it's fun for everybody.
Well, he said a good word there, didn't he? Really, I mean, a buzzword, fun. I'm not going to read into it, but I know KD needs the ball because mm-hmm. he is a ball-centric superstar and elite scorer and probably the best player on the planet right now. But you watch that. I mean, does Steph Curry facilitates? Everyone else facilitates. It is a different kind of basketball when they're playing, and it's nice to watch. If you're just a fan of basketball and take your goggles off, that's good basketball.
It is a beautiful game, and when they do it, it makes it that much easier, though, when you get wide-open shots for Steph and for Klay Thompson as well. And that was a big Achilles heel for the Blazers yesterday was the fact that, you know, so many wide open looks for Klay and Steph. And Damian Lillard spoke after the game about what the Blazers must change heading into game two.
I think the main thing we'll talk about is the adjustments we need to make defensively, you know, guarding them coming off all those screens and taking care of the ball, stuff like that. Like I said, if you turn the ball over as much as we did, as much as I did, you know, with how much I had a ball in my hands, you know, not valuing it enough, it's going to hurt you. So I think we'll be addressing a lot of things on both ends.
And that's a big part of it, too. Turnovers, 21 turnovers for 31 points. But you talk about the adjustments on defense. Buck has brought it up in his updates and brought it to us. Seven of Steph Curry's 9 made three-pointers were uncontested. And there was more that he took that were uncontested. You know, I mean, he was taking wide-open shots that he missed, too. I mean, those are just the ones that he made was 7 uncontested three-pointers. Something has got to change for this Portland team if they're going to win any games.
Leading
them that wide open, you're not going to win a game if you leave those guys that wide open. And there's frustration around.
Steph wasn't shooting fantastically. I mean, maybe there was. We'll test him. Let's see.
Last night? Oh, heading into the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't at the point where you looked at it and said, all right, he's killing everybody in the Houston series. So maybe they decided, let's see how hot this guy can get. Let's see if this really is Steph. He's like, oh, yeah. He's still that guy.
Yes, he is. And
no problems there.
If that game, as it played out, you're sitting there, and as you're watching it, you're going, man, this game, it seems like it should be a bigger lead for Golden State. It seems like it should be a bigger lead for Golden State throughout the first three quarters. But the Blazers had their puncher's chance heading into the fourth quarter. It was just a, you know, 6-point deficit, and they actually outscored Golden State in that third quarter, 26-23. And you're going, all right, is it going to happen? And then, boom, the dam broke open, and Golden State showed you why they were champions before Durant got there and why they are the odds-on favorite to win it again, with or without Kevin Durant, is because of the fact that they can make shots, and more importantly, you brought this up earlier, it's a great point, the way they defend. The way they defend on the other end, we could talk all we want about the Blazers' ineptitude defending on-ball screens. Golden State was as bad as Portland was. Golden State was that much better on the defensive end.
Well,
they
don't get enough. I don't know if they get enough credit. I think they get a lot of credit, but maybe it just gets passed over because how elite they are at shooting. And no one gives them the kind of fair shake of saying this team defends better than anybody in the NBA. They do. They defend better than anybody as a team. Individual, there are great individual defenders. Certainly, there's Giannis, who's probably the best on-ball defender in the league because he can guard every position. But so can Draymond Green. I mean, he's a 6'7 guy that shuts down every big in the league when he needs to. Blocking shots, being active hands. You said it too early. It's active hands. How many passing lanes looked like they were open?
They just get deflected passes, so many just intercepted passes where when they saw Dame drive, they knew exactly where the weak spot was, or when the double team came. And this is the thing too. Cantor, when he was getting double teamed early, they were screwing that thing up. You know, they were screwing up where the double team was coming from.
Where's the cutter, man? Where's the cutter when the double team shows?
Aminu went 1 for 3 in that game, in the game last night. The one play that, the one bucket that he had was the one time he cut. And he was standing, nobody around him right on the block.
He didn't even want to shoot that shot. It was like spin, dribble, uncomfortable. Just get in there, cut to the lane.
So there, the missed opportunities, even when Golden State was out of position defensively, hurt Portland because, I mean, again, as we say, the deflections in the passing lanes on the double teams, it was a thing of beauty there. And then on top of that, second chance opportunities, we've said it a bunch this morning. The Blazers were 4 of 17 on second chance points. And Terry Stotts, he was frustrated about how they played defense. He wasn't too happy with their offense either.
Well, we struggled with turnovers the whole game, obviously, even more so in the first half. I think we had 13 at half. So, they were aggressive. We made some poor decisions, but I thought they were really aggressive on the ball. They got deflections, and, 31, I don't know how many of them were transitioned, but, we never really got on track offensively. We didn't shoot the ball particularly well. We had turnovers. We didn't finish well when we had our offensive rebound. So, I mean, it was a tough night offensively.
All the way around. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a flush it game for Portland.
Yeah, forget about it. Move on.
The hard part is that it is game one of the Western Conference Finals, and it looked like a game played in what, November, December?
Yeah, it was an early December. It was the second half of a back-to-back. This would be a game that, if I could relate it to football, where the coach would show up on Monday with us and we'd say, that was garbage. We're not even going to look at the film. We're moving on.
Burn the tape.
Yeah, we're not even going to review the film. It's a waste of time. There's nothing we can learn here.
Yeah. There was, everybody's talking about the sagging off on the defensive end of the floor, but the bigs being in the paint 10, 15 feet away. But one thing that we thought the Blazers had a big advantage heading into the series was, all right, the starters for Golden State are going to have to carry a big load, and they're going to have to play a lot of minutes. We talked to Clint Azubuike, a studio analyst for NBC's Bay Area yesterday, and he said, I don't know what Steve Kerr's going to do, whether he's going to play a lot of guys or keep his rotation to 6 or 7. Well, he played a lot because his bench was outperforming the Portland Trailblazers, and that's something Steph Curry touched on as well.
I mean, honestly, that's the beauty of the playoffs. Every series is different. And when you have the capability to, expand the bench and fill minutes with guys that are obviously capable, can help us on the floor on both ends, and you see like the confidence that they play with, regardless of what the situation is, that's contagious for sure.
And he got 34 points off of the bench. It wasn't an explosion of offensive scoring, but I think their defense, there was no slip off in their defense really. And then on top of that, you get 9 points from Jonas Jerebko, 8 points from Quinn Cook, and the efficiency of their bench is what really shined. Rodney Hood played well for Portland again. He has 17 points on 4 of 8 shooting. But outside of that, Collins gave you 8 points and Seth Curry gave you 3. You didn't get a single point from Evan Turner, Jake Lehman, or I guess Lehman, LeBissiere, and Simons. They just got in at the end of the game. But Collins and Hood, your leading scorers, and Seth Curry kind of didn't make anything there. And that was supposed to be the advantage. And Buck, you said it was a 6-point deficit to start the fourth.
Yeah, that's correct.
Ballooned to 11 when the bench was in.
Yep.
And you can't do that if you're Portland to stay in this thing. You have to have your bench put up a better effort than that.
That would be a yes, Bob.
Yeah. But it also shows you kind of what Golden State is in that undervaluing of how good they truly are as a team and a unit.
They're still beatable.
They are.
I mean, it's not like you can't fix a few problems and a few issues. They're beatable. The Clippers beat them. Houston beat them. Now beating and winning a series, that's a whole nother conversation.
Mm-hmm. There is also a big concern from Blazer fans heading out of game one, that being the health of Damian Lillard coming out of it. Yes, he looked tired, but Doris Burke, they went to Doris on the sidelines, and she said, you know, Dame clinched his hamstring at the end of one of the defensive plays. And obviously he looked tired, but he was adamant after the game, nothing is wrong with my hamstring. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's great news.
Might have been just cramping. Just with fatigue.
Also, Dame's just not a guy who's ever going to make excuses. Even if there were something wrong with his hamstring, he's not going to tell you there's something wrong with his hamstring.
If there is, though.
Because there was definitely a point where he was wincing for a couple possessions. You could see it. I know they showed the one slow-mo replay where he grabbed at it, but even a couple plays afterwards, you could kind of see him grimacing. So I don't think it's nothing, but maybe it's not anything significant.
Right. But as it is, the Blazers are an 0-1 series hole to the Golden State Warriors after a 116-94 loss in Game 1 in Oakland. Was anybody else kind of disappointed in the crowd? The crowd didn't seem like they were all that into it.
I could care less about Golden State's crowd.
But no, at the beginning.
Well, they were still getting to their seats.
And yeah, there weren't a lot of people there. And it really wasn't until the third quarter that I was like, okay, that's Oracle Arena. It was odd to me to kind of see how that is supposed to be one of the best arenas in the NBA and going, huh, the place really didn't look rocking at the beginning of it. But as you said, I guess the traffic is so bad, people couldn't get to their seats in time to get it going. All right, we'll take a break from the Blazers as they're in an 0-1 hole. We know that. We'll talk to Bonzi Wells, former Blazer, at 8 o'clock, talk about his time in Portland here. And he was on the team that last played in the Western Conference Finals, and they lost game one by 15. Coming up next, though, the NCAA could make a big change to how their organization is run. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. A simple press release released by the NCAA yesterday could have major ramifications moving forward to the way that we look at college sports.
Get your EA Sports ready.
Whoop,
get your EA College Football Sports Pants ready.
That might get me to buy a new video game console.
Yeah, it might do that.
I still have like a...
Your PS4? PS2?
No, it's an Xbox...
Xbox
360.
Yeah, it still works. It works well.
It does work well.
Yeah, of course it will.
I haven't turned it on in
years.
Quite some time.
That's right. That'll be classic in about another 10.
DVD maybe. But the reason why NCAA football game video game may be coming back is because the NCAA announced it has appointed a group to examine issues highlighted in recently proposed federal and state legislation related to the student athlete name, image, and likeness.
About time.
So what happened yesterday was that they made a committee of, I believe it is 16 administrators and coaches and 3 student athletes that will dive into and look at how the NCAA can reward, or I guess award, student athletes for the use of their name, image, and likeness. But it is, quote, tethered to education. So they want to keep amateurism. They're saying this is not a pay for play situation. Under no circumstances will it be pay for play, even though they are already do. Like when you go to the NCAA tournament or you go to a bowl game and they give you gifts.
We call that per diem.
Pay for play.
Per diem.
And they give you a per diem. And a cost of living stipend. Okay. Yeah. They do already do, but they want to keep it as quote unquote amateur athletics. This is going back to what they're going to set up a fund that when in all likelihood, you'll have to graduate from the school and that money will be sitting there waiting for you upon your graduation because it's tethered to education.
Sounds like something that I presented years ago. Uh-huh. No, I think it's quite obvious that this is going to be a very good thing. It also has to ties with the hypocrisies of some of these guys that want to just be a YouTube person or sell anything or do something on the side and make extra revenue. It's insane that you could be punished to go on YouTube and I could be a college athlete and all I want to do is do a review of a wrench. Mm-hmm. Because I like the wrench. I can't get any compensation at all. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and this is the big problem, because the NCAA has been forced to take this action, because up in Washington, the state legislature is proposing a rule that would allow any college athlete in the state of Washington, when we say any, Washington State, sorry, Whitworth, your student athletes aren't going to be getting a bunch of money for image and likeness, but they're trying to make a state law that the athletes can profit off their image and likeness. Federally, Republican Mark Walker out of North Carolina, and he's a U.S. representative, and then Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, both of them have proposed federal legislation to allow.
It's just a matter of time.
And so it's the same thing the NCAA is going through with sports gambling, is that they're going, oh, crap, it's out of our hands now. If it's made legally federally, we have to have something in place by the time that happens.
Right. They're getting ahead of the game. They got to understand is that this is going to change. It's an overwhelming issue with finances in college football, especially just in college sports. There is such a massive top heaviness to it. And it's hypocrisies. These young people that have the ability to earn, they should. And I think, like you said, if they finish their college degree, I always said that you don't need schools to pay them money. The schools don't have to write checks for likeness. But what you should be able to do is have those rights. If you want to sign a hat, sign a ball, would you like to use your image on a YouTube channel or a Twitter handle or an Instagram account? Would you like to be able to use that image for your own benefit? Which is insane that you can't or make any money off that right now. And then if you do graduate, a 401k and also the potential to have some sort of health insurance benefit, health insurance account that you can manage later if you, heaven forbid, get injured.
Yeah, that's going to be something way down the road. You know what I mean? Like it's going to be.
No, but we're moving in the right direction for that.
Well, because I mean, like, goodness gracious, you go down to Eugene and that's where my in-laws live. You drive around that town, there's billboards with Justin Herbert on them. There's buses driving around town and, you know.
Does that sound right to you?
Justin Herbert's on the side of it.
Does that sound right to anybody?
And they don't get a dollar, you know.
But they get the opportunity to play for Oregon, the opportunity to have a scholarship, to market yourself as an athlete and a student. So is there a little mental trade-off that those of you on the outside are looking at? Go, oh, but wait, they do get benefits. I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that you don't get benefits. You really do when you're an athlete, but you're one of a very small amount. What about the kicker for Central Florida, who's not on the bus, that all he did was a YouTube review channel, and he got his scholarship removed. That is what I'm trying to focus on.
Well, and he got his scholarship removed, and he missed out on the opportunity because he had a YouTube channel that he made money off of because he's an entertaining human being.
Yeah.
That had nothing to do with football. He missed out on the opportunity to go on that undefeated season. Remember, that was right. He was the starting kicker for a team that went undefeated.
Yeah.
And he missed out on that opportunity because the NCAA is stupid.
This is all good news for the NCAA to be moving in this direction.
And the thing is, it'll be the smallest step they could possibly take, right? Mm-hmm. We know this is what the NCAA does. It'll be a small monetary number. It will probably only be a percentage, because one of the other things too is, like, when you're sitting there and you're looking at it, the school will end up writing the checks for this, because guess what? When ABC or Disney and Fox are cutting checks to each conference, that's because the athletes, you know, school is a
you're
brand.
You're not paying for Nick Saban?
No.
Or Dabo $93 Swinney? Million Dabo Swinney?
Yeah. Guess
what? Or Jimbo Fisher and his $78 million?
Well,
that's what we're paying to watch. Aren't you paying to watch that?
That's exactly what I'm paying to watch. So this is going to be the start of a headwind changing, and I'm here for it. If these kids want to make money, go ahead and do it. You know, and what you're talking about, and this is the biggest problem they're going to have. If you have a YouTube channel, what's the vetting process that the school is going to have to go through to make sure everything's on the up and up? Because it's going to be or the NCAA or the conference. You have to vet all of these things to make sure it's not just a booster going, here's $100,000, start a YouTube channel, make one video a week, and it's a dude picking his boogers, you know?
It seems very daunting to get to that level where we're at. At some point, you're just going to have, There's got to be, you can't legislate every single thing that we do on a daily basis with everything and manage it. Then it becomes to the point where it's not even about the game anymore. It's about making sure nobody breaks rules consistently.
And then how does Title IX fit into this is something that these guys are going to have to deal with.
Well, revenue sports are always going to be the ones that get the most benefits. That's always how it works. It's not.
Well, yeah, I know. But the whole image and likeness, how does that fall in? Does it fall under Title IX? Or is it just based off of, you know, hey, this is a free market. And this is what kind of the state representative from North Carolina is saying, is that, look, these kids aren't able to, these adults aren't able to be a part of a free market in the free market opportunities. There should be a separation there between, you know, being that student athlete and being your own enterprise as it is. And they are their own enterprise. You're telling me Zion Williamson isn't his own brand and his own level of marketability? You know, Justin Herbert isn't that? Mm-hmm. If you look at, you know, Gardner Minshew Mania with the mustache last year, he became his own brand. And these guys have no way to benefit.
This is the world we live in now. We just do. It's too easy to make money off of social media and marketing yourself.
And it's always been pretty un-American to not let them do that.
Stifle it? Yeah, I don't think that sounds right.
And suppress it, really. I mean,
but then benefit off other people? Oh, come on.
Yeah. I wonder how much blowback this is going to have from guys like Dabo Swinney, who's getting paid $9.3 million a year.
He shouldn't say anything. He's getting paid $9.3 million.
He's already said, if this game becomes about the money, that's the day I leave.
Well, good. Maybe the NCAA take a page out of the NBA and stop rewarding teams that just pay for everything and start trying to spread the wealth around.
Yeah,
it's already when television changed college football is when it broadcast everybody, and it made it interesting. That teams like a TCU or a Washington State or anybody to get their games on play, and you could see, and those kids were like, you used to go to schools because you were on TV. That's why Notre Dame dominated the 80s and the early 90s, because you had an NBC contract and you went there because everybody could see you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to change it.
You can be seen anywhere unless you play in the Pac-12.
And play at 5 o'clock as the Pac-12 just announced. They will be on ABC next year, not Fox or not ESPN. They will be on ABC, but still on Friday at Levi Stadium at 5 p.m.
Oh, wait, you're talking about
Pac-12 championship.
Championship game?
Yeah, that's a winner.
The University of Oregon has announced that the 2019 season will kick off at AT&T Stadium against Auburn, Saturday Night Football on ABC. It's the primetime game Saturday night to kick off the college football season, Oregon-Auburn, right here on The Fan.
Dang, that's a great thing, though.
It is.
At least they get one part right.
Yeah, buddy.
It's on you, Oregon, baby. Let's go.
What was that?
Let's get it done.
A little quack.
Just quacking it up.
All right. Hey, you quack, bro. All right. Bill Nye cussed out all of the kids he used to teach. Dustin Cam on The Fan.
All aboard!
What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
Fungal spore
growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
All right. We got Bonzi Wells coming up, top of the hour. He'll be joining us in about, 11 minutes from now. Former Portland Trailblazer, one of the key figures of the Jailblazer era, if you will.
Blast from the past, I guess.
Yeah, he was on the 2000 Western Conference Finals team. The last time the Blazers were in the finals, he's
fellow
playing.
Class of 98er.
He's playing in the Big Three. No, his coach is now Dr. J. And I think people here may have I don't want to call it a misrepresentation. They have a different view of Bonzi Wells just because of the era of the Blazers he played in. in some of the views of that roster. Like, I think it would surprise people to know that Bonzi wasn't, like, arrested when he played for the Blazers ever. His big thing was he cussed out a coach.
Well, didn't he get, because he was around, they had something with, he was hanging at a scene or a party scene or something after a party, and the police wanted him to disperse and they wouldn't.
Yeah, outside of a nightclub.
Yeah, outside of a nightclub.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. So we'll have a good conversation with Bonzi. If there's any questions that you want us to ask Bonzi, text us. I'm not sure we'll get to him, but we might. 55305. Do you see a new study that has come in the Remedy Reviewed? They surveyed 1,000 people about marijuana at work, and they found that 16% of employees say that they have used marijuana at work. And of that number, 27% said they've been under the influence of marijuana on their jobs every day. That is an amazing number to think about. So you're saying
I would argue that alcohol is higher.
Of every day on the job at work?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, look, that's a guess. But I would think that because alcohol is, I'm just telling you, you know, how many times do we see the classic back in the day, the little teacher pulls out the drawers, got the flask, or even there's alcohol in businesses. I mean, you have a drink. Come on.
Yeah, alcohol there. Do you think it's 15% though?
Yeah. I would feel comfortable saying I would think so. Yeah. I feel very comfortable with that.
I am amazed that you sit there and you go, I wonder if that goes with every single
bourbon
industry.
And bacon crap, and we come in here and these guys are drinking in here.
What are you talking about?
How many times have we come in here and seen alcohol segments?
Oh, beer and yeah, they have it on the Saturday morning show, and then
that's work.
We have a beer podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying here. I was wondering in more industries, like, are you drinking on the job? Is that what you're doing right now?
I'm drinking a coffee.
What's in it, Bailey's?
No, I don't know.
Irish whiskey?
No, I don't know.
Tequila?
I don't drink and drive. No, ever. Well, I don't be around work and do that ever.
You're not driving.
I'm working. I don't want to have alcohol while I'm working.
But I'm wondering how many people like in radio are drunk on the job or are drinking on the, I don't want to say drunk, are drinking on the job. Or how many people like when you go to your everyday work environment, like there's one thing, like salespeople, there probably is a little bit of that swing lube. They loosens them up for a big call or whatever.
What do you do when you go out on a business call, on a sales call? You go out for a little lunch. What are you going to do? Are you going to have a little beverage?
So are we
stuff like that?
Are we going to have the same way people view marijuana then as they do alcohol moving forward?
It's a legitimate question. Once it becomes federally legal, I think so. I think it is. The more things that we get to be exposed to, yeah. Mm. I'm not surprised by that number at all. No. Yeah.
This is the way Sprague makes his betting picks. I think he drinks every day.
He's a day drinker.
This texture says I'm in AA. It's way more than you think.
That's where I'm at. I think that it's probably quite a bit higher.
What would you put the percentage on drinking on the job?
On the job? It's on over job 25%.
You think a quarter of our workforce drinks every day or drinks? Okay, not every day.
What's the definition?
But has had a drink within the last week on the job.
I'm not abreast of this, but what do you think the definition is of an alcoholic is?
Good use of the word abreast.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or somebody that does that. Multiple drinks.
It's a dependence and reliance on it.
Yeah, okay.
In my mind.
I remember somebody telling me if you have more than 9 drinks a week, or just arbitrary number out there. I'm not looking at that. I'm just trying to say is that it's a legal thing. You can buy it anywhere. Yeah. I mean, it's part of culture.
I think it's a little bit more different for us because we are in the mornings. And it's like you don't see that very often in the morning drive. Like, I'm not waking up and being like, here we go. You know, it'd loosen this show up.
Hair on the dog.
You might think about it. Yeah, people are lying. The number is way higher. Young people are high and the olds are drunk. See, in this, like this texture, I work in medicine. Any of this would be horrible on my job. I think it'd be horrible in our job too, but I
would it?
Yeah. Yeah. If you were lubed up doing this,
I would be awful. That's why I don't. Everyone gets mad at me because I don't drink when I play golf. They go, "Yeah, why can't you play? Why can't you have a few beverages and take a few shots and have Fireball?" And I'm saying, I don't want to. I play bad. I don't want to do that.
You have people asking you to play drink Fireball on the golf course.
What?
You have people asking you to drink Fireball on the golf course?
Yeah, named Dusty Hara and Ryan Buckley.
What? I don't think I asked him. I think I was just complicit.
You guys are making me feel bad.
That was Crown Royal. The Barlow Doesn't bros matter. Gave it's that
all the
to
same.
Us.
It's all the same.
Our P1 bros out in...
Y'all are making me feel bad.
Out in Boring.
I'm like, I don't want to drink when I play golf. I am a sharpened tack when I'm playing sport. When I have that, I turn into an absolute... It's a waste of effort. I want to be sharp.
Waste of effort? You can still be sharp. It dials me in.
Look, I've tried it. It's not good. It's not... I'm not enjoying my time if I'm not playing golf.
I'm going to spike your drink when we go out at the Fan Golf Classic this year.
Good luck with that.
Spiking your drink?
Yeah.
Challenge accepted. Buck, you run distraction.
I feel like that's going to end up with you being spiked yourself on a green or in a sand trap somewhere.
Yeah, probably. It's frowned upon, I heard. Spiking people's drinks.
Shouldn't do that.
Yeah. All right. 55305, the better you today. Text line, Bonzi Wells, former Blazer. Coming up next... He was on the last Western Conference final team that the Blazers ever had. And they went down in an 0-1 hole to the Lakers. How did the Blazers bounce out of it? Here's Bonzi coming up next after Buck with SportsCenter.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.